Eric Paul is a cheese lifer. He has been a cheesemonger in the artisan cheese and specialty foods business for over 15 years. In September 2012, after selling local cheeses at area farmers markets, Eric opened the Cheese Traveler at 540 Delaware Avenue in Albany to bring a shop where artisan cheeses and cured meats are cut to order in the city. He joins us now to advise us of some of the best cheeses and specialty foods to bring on your summer picnic. We, of course, have Tanglewood running with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. The Bolshoi Ballet is at SPAC this week, and then the Philadelphia Orchestra will be moving in. So there's a lot to be planning for your picnic on a lawn, to hear wonderful music, or to see a production of Shakespeare, or to go to any of the myriad of outdoor presentations, or maybe you just want to have a picnic in your home, with your family out somewhere, right?
In your home, on your patio, on your porch,
wherever. Eric Paul, thank you very much for being with us. It's very nice to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me, Joe. It's really fun to be here.
So, what is it, how do you think of this? Do you think of cheese as seasonal in the sense of when you were preparing for your shop and for what people want and their needs, is there a seasonal aspect to it?
There's definitely a seasonal aspect, just in how cheeses and when cheeses are available. So particularly in the spring, you have younger, fresh cheeses, especially goat and sheep's milk cheeses, because it's typical that you would lamb or kid in the wintertime, and then once the babies are born and with the moms for about a month, then you start the milking and cheese making process.
Right.
So you'd have the young cheese in what's historically been known as the spring flush in April and May. And then you'd have in the winter, especially with goat and sheep's milk cheeses, the herd is traditionally dried off. The animals produce less milk. It tends to be stronger in flavor, maybe gamier. And so the farmer cheesemaker will dry off the herd and give the animals a break for a little while.
Right.
And so then you would not have those young cheeses come winter, what we think of as the holiday time. But then that's when the season for those aged cheeses of goat and sheep's milk cheeses come in, at least in the farmhouse and artisan scale of cheese making. In industrial or even specialty industrial cheeses, you might get that year round because the milk supply is much larger.
So when it comes to the actual then making of or the production and what we take with us on a picnic, it would assume that you often want something that is for everyone, right? That is a little more all-purpose than something that is to a very specific taste? Is that fair to say, or?
Well, certainly what we think about that when we're putting together cheese, cheese plates for people who are, entertaining or, say people are getting together with friends, they don't know what everybody's tastes are. We're going to put, maybe, depending upon the number of people, probably 2 to 5 cheeses. And we're going to, depending upon how adventurous people are, make sure to have some real crowd pleasers on there so that people can reach for something. Even if they don't love them all, they love some of, they have some things that they can enjoy. But overall, we're trying to get a good mix of things that people are really going to be able to dig into.
Okay. So you told me as you were preparing that this was going to be as if we were on the lawn and we were going to be picnicking. So what do we have before us?
Well, so usually when we put together a plate, people come into the shop, we have, we're helping people put together little plates all the time, but the most common number we get is 3 cheeses. And so when we do a plate of 3 cheeses, we like to vary textures in there to give people a good sort of variety cross-section of the cheese world. So We have three cheeses today. We have a soft, creamy, French-style triple creme actually made by a brand-new local creamery. They've just been, their first batches of cheese were available at the end of May this year out in Steventown, New York, a cheese called St. Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little French triple creme style. Then in the center, we have a little British, firmer, British-style cheese, all of which slightly resemble cheddar, but the territorial cheeses in and around England have slight variations. This is the Duckett's Care Philly, which we get from a great cheese shop in Affignon, or cheese ripener called Neil's Yard Dairy. And then the third cheese we have is a blue. So usually we do soft cheese, something texture-wise in the middle of that, and then a blue cheese. And that the blue that we have today is a classic, very classic French blue cheese from Auvergne. It's been made roughly dating back to the Roman times, a cheese called Forme d'Ambert, which is from the Auvergne region of central France.
So what shall we try first?
Well, when we try the cheeses, you usually want to start with the softest and mildest cheese first and then progress through texture and always finish with the blue. And the blue is usually the strongest.
Right. Okay. So we'll try the most mild. Now we also have meat.
Yes, I brought two different cured meats. So usually when we put together a plate, we have the cheeses as the sort of the core of it, and then I bring a few, you know, usually help customers select a few cured meats. You know, we at the shop slice these to order, so usually it's a matter of, you know, for I think what amounted to maybe $5 or $6, you get a nice selection of cured meats that sort of balance the plate out a little bit, you know, give you a little bit more than just cheese, and, you know, just sort of enrich the experience a little bit more.
All right. So I can just take that slab of that?
Yes.
Okay. And so I should try this without the cured meat then?
Yeah, this one we specifically selected a little local brittle for. This is a pistachio.
Ooh, a brittle.
And
so I make a little
and
brittle.
And it might be a little sweet if you have all of it on there. But
oh, all right. Well, I'll just take it. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you just do a little.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Snap
okay,
the
so,
brittle.
Yeah. So just like a little chunk of brittle perhaps on top to make it pretty, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So make a brittle chip, if you will.
Yes. And this is a locally made brittle with pistachio and sunflower seeds made by a small producer down in near Woodstock called Cooper's Lake Farm.
That's a fantastic cheese.
Yes. It's just rich, luscious, buttery, slightly lactic. Good amount of salt, not too much.
Okay. Well, yeah. What is? I find that with cheese, you can overdo the salt, can't you?
Mm-hmm. You want to be able to taste all aspects of the milk and everything that's in there. It's not just salt. You know, almost all cheese is usually four simple ingredients: milk, usually rennet, which coagulates the milk, cultures, which sort of lays the map of what that cheese is going to be, and then salt. If you add too much salt, then you're sort of going to overpower some of the other nuances and subtleties of the cheese.
Eric Paul is with us this morning. He is advising us on some of the best cheeses and specialty foods to help our summer picnic, and he is the proprietor of the Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York. So we now try our next. Do we have more of that one?
Do you want more of that
no,
one?
No, that one's fine. I'll wait till the end. I'll put my brittle aside.
Okay. So the next cheese is a British, what we refer to as a British territorial cheese, which, you know, comes from the outlying countryside in Britain. And this one we're pairing with a cured ham from Italy and a little bit of a cornichon, which is perhaps not quite regional, but still tasty.
And that is it looks like a small pickle.
It is a pickle. It's okay. A pickled gherkin.
Okay, a pickled gherkin.
Very traditional small, very to cute. France and to Switzerland.
And so again, we have the cheese, we have the meat, and then we have the little gherkin on top. All right. So it's a little sandwich.
Yeah, so these are just sort of, you know, what's nice about these for, you know, your picnic is that they're finger food, they're easy, no cooking required, full of flavor.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very a very nice combination. Now, do you recommend having this prepared? Is it up to you as far as having it prepared and putting them together and creating a plate, or let people do their own thing so they can try all the different flavors?
Well, when we're at the shop, we encourage people to sample as many cheeses as they can stand.
Okay.
And so we encourage people to, you know, we're trying to find cheeses that people like. In a lot of cases, we have over 100 cheeses. In most cases, people aren't very familiar with them. So we encourage people to try them, become familiar with them, come to know what they like, what they don't like. And so as we're building like a plate like this, if a customer were to come into my shop, we would taste, you know, they say, oh, I'm picking two, three cheeses for tonight, going out with my friends or significant other
right.
to SPAC. And, you know, so we think, well, you know, three cheeses, we tell them what we do, three cheeses, you know, we base on texture, you know, we tell them all about that. They say, oh, that sounds good. And so then we jump right into picking a soft cheese. So out of 100 cheeses, we're not really tasting 100 cheeses, we're tasting soft
right.
cheese. Then we're tasting a cheese in the middle, and then we're tasting blue. Unless they say, oh, we don't like blue, then we're like, oh, well, we'll try a wash rind cheese or something like that. And so we try to, so then once we have the cheeses picked out, the cheese is sort of the centerpiece. And then from the centerpiece, we then select the accompaniments. Usually salami goes with most things. Usually a cured ham goes with most things. And, you know, when we're picking in a little bit, we'll try a fruit paste, which would go great with pretty much any one of these, you know.
Okay.
You know, sometimes there's some trickiness in pairings. You know, if you have some acidity in the cheese or acidity in the fruit that you're pairing with. But, you know, we picked a pear paste, which pears mostly sugar and not very acidic.
So the scenario is that my wife and I invite two other couples, and we're going to go out on the lawn, and we're going to see a beautiful performance of an orchestra. And is it incumbent upon us to prepare and to cut up the cheese and the meat, or do we let our guests do that themselves?
Well, I would, you know, what I've done with you is I just bring
pretty,
a cheese, you know, you can pack right in a tote bag like
yeah.
I did, you know, your little board, cutting board and a couple knives and things like that. Just bring them and put the wedges right out and let people
Yeah, because it's much
enjoy
prettier
it.
That way.
It's prettier that way. It's not really messy. You just,
yeah.
you know, I did, you know, cheese can handle being out of refrigeration for a little while. If you have a little cooler or thermal pack, it will help it. But, you know, generally you want to bring cheese up to, you know, room temperature anyway, which takes, you know, probably about 45 minutes in this weather.
So to play out my scenario, my wife and I are going. We invite the two other couples. My wife and I come to you, and we let you do all the hard work, and then we can take credit for it. That's fine. And then the other couple say, well, can we bring? And we say, wine. And then do they have to know what kind of cheese, or is there sort of a general?
Well, you know, like sometimes pairing with wine is a little bit tricky, but, you know, generally there are some wines that are quite friendly towards cheese, something that has a little bit of residual sugar, like the German or Alsatian whites, you know, like Riesling or something like that is considered mm-hmm. to be the most easy to pair with, you know. And if
okay.
you have acid in the wine, then that can be tricky because it can clash with the acidity in the cheese. But, you know, you go with a medium body, you know, a red like a Malbec or something like that, and you'll be pretty safe with most pairings. If I'm doing a pairing event or something like that, I'll spend a little bit more time. But if a customer comes into the shop, usually I'm trying to do something that's going to work for everybody and then just remind people that they're eating cheese and drinking wine, which is usually a pretty good thing.
Yeah, not a lot can go wrong. Okay, so and then our final cheese is the blue cheese, right? We've come to this.
Yes, we've come to this.
Okay.
And this one we could do with the meat, but I'm going to do it just with the fruit paste first. And this is a little pear paste from a small jammer. in Vermont called Side Hill Farm, and they make these nice little fruit pastes.
One of the cooler job titles in the world.
Yes. Jammers.
Yes.
Cheesemongers.
All right. Wow. So now's the time where I tell you I don't like blue cheese.
Right.
But I like that. So what is different than quote-unquote traditional blue cheese?
Well, blue cheese is like one of, I often think of it as like, it's like my reclamation project.
We all have to have one in life.
Right. It's like the reputation and the experience of blue cheeses that most
right.
people have is usually it's one of two things, either, you know, grocery store blues or blue cheese dressing.
Yeah.
And the blue cheeses that you get in grocery stores tend to be larger producers, or if they're from Europe, they're also larger producers, but usually they're, you know, the best way to know about cheese is that cheese has there's the logistics involved. You have to move it from Europe here. And no matter who you are, it comes by boat, usually 4 to 6 weeks. And if it enters into a supply chain, that logistics gets elongated, and you really just have to get cheese from people who know about cheese.
Right. And
because otherwise they get to be strong and salty, and they'll burn in the back of the throat, they'll fume up your nose, none of which is a pleasant experience.
Because there are certainly strong aspects to that cheese, but it's also mm-hmm. very creamy and mm-hmm. lovely as well. The rind seems to have sort of a sugary glow to it. Is that just the lighting of this room, or is that am I making that up?
There's a little bit of moisture on the rind, and I think
okay.
that's what's glistening
all right.
there.
All right. Because there's a little bit of a grittiness, which I like, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of cool. And that's very, very good. And then, of course, adding the sweetness of the pear paste.
Pear balances it. So that's usually what we're trying to do when we're doing, you know, thinking about accompaniments, is sort of balancing, you know, if it's a little stronger or saltier, you balance it with a little sweetness.
Now, if we were to add meat to that, would it be the...
Probably the speck, because on the other side, which we haven't tasted yet, this is
a
Italian style sopressata that's made with yes, it's a salami.
No, I said not a salami. It's a sopressata, right?
Sopressata is a type of salami.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. An Italian style salami. And this one is cured with a little bit of Burgundy wine, and it has a little bit of whole peppercorn.
Now, what would we have that with? What would that be good
with?
Well,
you could do, I would tend to do this either with the first two. There's a little bit of acidity to it, which I think might clash a little bit with the
All
blue
right.
cheese.
So let me try that with the first one.
Okay. Then you get into this whole thing where you have it with the salami. But then you do something like throw in, you know, this is sort of the fun of, you know, you're on your picnic at Speck or something, and you've got these pairings that are specific to one cheese, and then you do something crazy like you have it with the salami and you throw a little bit of the pear paste on it and you have a little bit of fun with it. You see what goes with what.
Right. You can just, you control it, but right.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now... without giving too much away here, because I realize it's all over the board. But if I were to go to your store and to purchase this for our picnic, this would run roughly what?
So we usually like to say that if you're doing just cheese, bread, the cured meats, and the crackers, we can get that to you for between like $28 and $35.
Oh wow.
All if right. you add the accompaniments,
that's about half of what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, if you add both the accompaniments, the brittle, which is, you know, the brittle's, it's going to be a bigger bag than one night, and the
so
and
you
the pear paste
for later.
Then you're adding about $20.
Okay, well, that's worth it, I think. But that's beautiful.
But those are those are embellishments on something nice.
That's right. Accoutrement.
Yes.
Eric Paul is a cheesemonger. He is the proprietor of the Cheese Traveler on Delaware Avenue in Albany, 540 Delaware Avenue. You can check them out and find out, because we do have a lot of wonderful cheesemongers in our region, don't we? And so that's where we go to find the good stuff.
That's right.
Excellent. Eric, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. It's a delight to have you here and have you come back. It's very nice.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun.
Again, Eric Paul is from the Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.